QBs episode 29. What's more fun, building your fantasy team or a real NFL team? The guys touch on the Field of Dreams baseball game. We go through fantasy tips from the milkman and then also talk about the NFL a little bit. Of course, punchable face of the week, there's always somebody, and a Ted Lasso moment. Check it out. Enjoy. Have fun.
Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys. They're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. From Dallas, Texas, Ryan Pope. Michael Rooster Phelan from Richmond, Virginia. Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa. Toby House Milrod from Philadelphia. Chris Bison Nace from D.C.
SMQBs, episode 29. There is a single burning question for House this week. Toby, if Jalen Hurts played last week, would the score have been 42 or 49 nothing New England?
It's not good. It is not good. Can we please have Carson back?
Oh, that's sure. You didn't even have to start the season if you got that out. And
He's practicing. Good, right? He's practicing.
Can Jalen Hurts? I guess we're going to jump ahead. Can Jalen Hurts play NFL football? I hope so. Oh, my sons will kill me for saying that when they listen to this podcast. They're a big Jalen believers.
Well, you know, listen, he was awesome last week on the sideline. Actually, he wasn't even on the sideline, was he?
He was in a hospital.
Was he okay? What did he have? He had some stomach bug?
He had a stomach infection.
I think he's faking illness.
So he doesn't have to play.
He doesn't have to play for the Eagles.
I think we should start the pod now.
What's going on?
I hope you guys are having fun on holiday. Is that what they call it here in the States? Are you guys on holiday?
Well, we took a little holiday. We're on summer schedule right now. We recorded on a Wednesday last, and then we got back and we took the Monday off. So we're back. We're a little late getting this out, but you know, listen, it's summertime. We're taking a vacation. What do you want from us? Mm-hmm. We did have the unfortunate timing though of recording the day before the Field of Dreams game, and then we took a bunch of time off. And really, I think we have to spend just a minute on that game because every once in a while, I mean, you have big sporting events that capture sort of the imagination and the heart of America. And, you know, the Super Bowl is obviously at the top of the list of everybody talking about and going to parties and watching. And March Madness probably comes in right after that. But the Field of Dreams game really was sort of a big surprise. I mean, the number of people who were texting me, are you watching this? How cool is this? When Kevin Costner led the teams out from the corn onto the field, I was really struck by how many people posting on social media and were bringing it up. I mean, what did you guys think of it? It was pretty remarkable.
I thought as a made-for-TV event, it was going to be a joke. It was amazing. And I was shocked to read that it had the highest ratings for a Major League Baseball game since 2005. In 16 years. Regular season game. They haven't had that many people watch baseball in 16 years than in the cornfield in Iowa. And of course, it was amazing drama to end the game. It was just an awesome production. Awesome production.
Oh, Hollywood couldn't have scripted it any better. The way it ended with the Yankees making that dramatic comeback and then the walk off, you know, by the White Sox. I mean, it was all just very theatrically set, and I think it kind of rubbed us to our nostalgia about baseball. The reason that we loved Field of Dreams as a movie, as a sports fan, or in a baseball fan was because it reminded us of days of yore. And I think that was something that, you know, major sports is missing. And I think that kind of is why this caught on in a way that nobody had really expected.
You know, surprisingly, the NHL has been ahead of that concept because you're right, Pope. It reminds you of Sandlot baseball as a kid, standing out there in the hot sun in the outfield with some, you know, makeshift field, and same with playing ice hockey on a pond. And that's what the NHL has captured. And I think the viewership for those outdoor hockey games is way up compared to regular season hockey as well.
As long as the sun is not shining.
Punchable face of the week. Yeah, that's right.
As long as the sun isn't shining.
Right. Yeah, yeah, right.
Is it just me or baseball uniforms like progressively going downhill? Like they need to all go back to the 20s version. I love seeing the old White Sox uniform. That was so cool.
Well, they were so baggy back then.
I love it. I think it's awesome.
I agree.
That first home run landed in the cornfield. It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, that was cool.
Just disappears.
Yeah. they should play like a weekly game there.
I think Zach Britton got lost in the cornfield trying to come in to close out the game. And it showed in his performance.
I was just going to say, if they brought back those unis for the White Sox, and the White Sox have had a lot of good unis over the years, but that old school White Sox uni isn't the best. If they brought that back, that would be the number one seller.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think the Yankees have changed their uniform since 1908. So that might not be an issue, right? So
why change? Seems to have worked for them, baby.
Did you have to tee that up?
That game jump started the Yankees to shed their old ways, and now they're the real Yankees.
You're just get back to the field of
you guys know I'll always fight to the death that baseball is America's pastime. It is the most important sport that we have. And the way that game was embraced, it's been a pretty dark 18 months, right? I mean, you could even go back further than that if you wanted to, but certainly the last 18 months have been pretty dark for this country. And the way that game was embraced by, again, I said it, people who I don't even think are big sports fans, but who tuned in and really got into it. I mean, the only thing that comes to mind is the James Earl Jones script on this. You know, baseball's been the constant, and that game showed it off. I mean, really, it's cliche or Pollyannish, I guess, but it, boy, that game, that really showed it off as to why baseball is the link from generation to generation in this country.
Well, and you have to credit Major League Baseball for seizing on it, because now next year we're going to have the Cubs and the Cards, which is
a Reds, big, Cubs and the Reds.
Cubs and Reds, which and is Reds. A big time throwback series.
Yeah. Bison, let me ask you this. Did it work because it's a single game? Would it be as alluring if they did a 3-game set?
Probably not, right? I mean, probably not, but listen, baseball caught lightning in a bottle this time, and I'm the first one to criticize MLB, the organization, for always screwing everything up. And hopefully they don't try and overdo it next year, and they don't do that. They don't make a big deal out of the 3-game series. They let it be the one big night on prime time, and they can do it again, because, boy, they do have a pretty good track record of messing up a good thing.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
So clearly that's the place if you're going to have a nostalgic baseball setting, right? I mean, the Iowa cornfield, that you can't do much better than that. But what about other sports? Is there, like, where's a place that you would want to see, you know, a football game or an NBA game or a college basketball game for that matter? Is there something that jumps out at you as, man, they really need to do this?
How about an NBA game at Rucker Park in New York City?
Yeah, baby.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That would be jamming.
You guys know the Palestra? You know, it was the stadium on University of Pennsylvania's campus, and they used to have NCAA games, the whole thing, at the Palestra. And there was a tradition that until the first basket was scored, once the first basket was scored, everybody would throw down full rolls of toilet paper from like the rafters, and they would have to stop the game and pull the toilet paper off the floor. But the Palestra is truly an iconic joint for basketball games. I would love them to play a great game between, you know, Celtics and Lakers in the Palestra. That to me would be, you know, besides Rucker Park, which is a great call, Rooster, that to me is the field of dreams for basketball.
So I took this task as what we said it was going to be, which is, you got a movie, and where's your movie setting for the sports? And so I came up with my virtual background is the Odessa Permian High School Stadium where Friday Night Lights was shot. And how cool it would be to have an NFL game at Odessa Permian Stadium under Friday night under the lights.
Amazing.
And I guess because in Texas, I took the flip side and that'd be The Longest Yard, which was another great football movie. And how fun would it be to have in a prison camp at one of their stadiums have an NFL game? And actually, you could highlight the injustice of the prison system and make some social justice statement out of it. But that would be a possibility for basketball. I'm going with Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Butler's Hoosiers. Home court, which is where the Hoosiers final championship game was between Muncie Central and Milan, which was the high school that Hoosiers was framed after. And then finally for hockey, I'm going to go to what is now known as Herb Brooks Rink in Lake Placid. And we're under the movie Miracle. We're going to have a great NHL game to commemorate the USA 1980 and that, arena and the atmosphere. So going with the movie theme, there you go for your Field of Dreams.
Good ones, Pope. Good job with your homework.
Thank you. I've had a little while to look.
You only forgot one on football, I think, because you nailed it all across. The hockey game would be incredible, Lake Placid. But
yeah,
how about they play a game under Touchdown Jesus and play at Notre Dame Stadium where Rudy was done and play an NFL game there?
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's a good one because I was going back to the movie thing, I was going to say, Rudy is a movie that sort of nailed it, right? I mean, that's, Notre Dame football, we could have a pod on that just alone on the significance of it. But that movie nailed it as far as drama and goosebumps and the whole thing. So, yeah, you're right. That would be a great place too, I think.
I don't see – yeah, but, what's the allure of an NFL team playing in a college stadium? I just don't see it.
You see, if you – like,
the love of the game.
I'd like to see it played – I agree with you, in an old – grass field, all muddy and everything, like something like if you're gonna play in a college stadium, play at Harvard or something where it's a real throwback stadium.
Some of these guys could play a college field and they'd probably make more money as a college player than they do in the NFL at this point.
That's true.
Although could you imagine Milk playing an NFL game at the Big House at Michigan and putting 110,000 people
I was gonna say Michigan stadium? Yeah.
Yes,
that would be cool.
It would be really cool.
It's like the Rams played in the Coliseum. The Coliseum felt it wasn't 100,000, but I don't know. Maybe something like the Big House would be pretty cool, or Knoxville or something like that.
You're hard to impress, Milk.
Yeah, Milk, man.
Are you lying down?
I got my legs up, man.
Wow. The good thing this is an audio recording.
Well, that's a good conversation. So if you have ideas about other places that you'd like to see a game set up, hey, tweet them at us. Let us know what you think. That's kind of fun stuff. So let us know what you think about that.
I'm sure there'll be some Canadian version.
Oh, yeah, probably. Mm. So that would be fun. All right. Well, we have to move on, but it'd be silly at this time of year not to start talking a little fantasy football. Milk, take us away with this. What's going on in fantasy? What are your tips? Tell us where you are with this.
Well,
why don't you first suggest, Milk, why you should lead this? Because I'm sure you want to boast about that.
I was going to ask you guys how come you guys picked me to do this?
Oh my God.
I'm just curious. Is there any reasoning?
Because you had the best regular season record in the history of fantasy. Oh no, that was me last year. Sorry.
Oh,
well,
wow. Oh, so you're the one who shit the bed in the playoffs.
That's right. In the Super Bowl.
I'm sorry. Do you have a ring? I don't.
Okay. Well, that was enough on fantasy football for one.
Good job.
Let me talk. I keep mine on the mantle. Well, just a little background here. for our listeners, we formed a fantasy football league about 4 years ago. We've had, this will be our fifth season, if I'm not mistaken. And the first year I won the league. The second year I went to the Super Bowl. The third year I went to the Super Bowl. Now I didn't win those.
Oh, well, that's a shame. His audio cut out.
What a shame he cut out.
I heard him say he didn't win.
Yeah,
maybe, he didn't win. Maybe next year with his winnings, he can.
He's one for three in the Super Bowl, is what he was saying.
I'm one for three in the Super Bowl, but I do have a ring. Look, this is my favorite time of year. I love fantasy football. I've got some advice for our listeners, and I'm not going to give too much away because I know. And if you guys have some questions for me, let me know. I know
oh my God.
Okay.
If you want to use this opportunity to pick my brain, I totally get it. But look, these are my pet peeves. All right. So first of all, if you are anything outside of top five in picks, do not pick a running back. Running back should only be picked in the first top five. There are only.
I gotta write that down. I gotta write that down. Number six. Yeah, I'm number six.
Running back. Five elite.
So,
because I've got 12 and 13.
Milk,
so
may I interrupt you? Because I think last year I picked either sixth or eighth, and I picked Dalvin Cook.
You got lucky.
I got lucky. Is right.
Right.
Because you guys were dumb enough to let him slide to eighth.
Yeah. I've got McCaffrey. I've got Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, and then who the hell are you going to take after that?
You got McCaffrey one.
I've got McCaffrey one. You've got the legend
for a friend.
Wait, you got him ranked by running back by position. That's your top four.
I'm talking running back.
Yeah.
I'm saying McCaffrey after the top four. You could throw in Ezekiel Elliott, maybe.
How about Nick Chubb
this year?
I'm saying my point is this, is after those top five go, it's better to go to a top wide receiver or maybe even like a top tight end, like Tyreek Hill. I'm going to take over Nick Chubb. Kelce, I'm going to take over Nick Chubb.
Oh, yeah, Kelce's first round.
Kelce.
Right.
You changed his name.
He did?
Changed his name?
He came out and said, "You've been mispronouncing my name all these years. It's Kelce."
There's your punchable face of the week.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah.
earlier in the episode than usual.
Yeah.
Fuck him. I'm going to keep it the same way. Kelce.
Right. Look,
what about Najee Harris? You wouldn't take him with a sixth pick?
Too early. Unproven.
Hell no. Not when you can take Devontae Adams.
One pick. Who's your number one pick? You have the first pick in the draft. Who you take it?
I'm taking McCaffrey.
You are? Okay.
Yeah.
Bill, I have a question for you. I have a question for you, since you're such a champion.
Yeah.
How do you deal with rehabbed injuries of the, say, knee for running backs, like a guy like Saquon Barkley? Do you take him in the top 10 this year? A guy like Ezekiel Elliott, who like was down last year. What do you do with those guys? Our listeners want to know, and somebody picking six is interested too.
I wouldn't touch the legend with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, neither
would
I.
Not in the first three or four rounds.
You wouldn't either, Rooster?
Nope.
Hell no.
Wow,
we haven't even seen him in a preseason game.
He hasn't played.
You haven't seen Daniel Jones in a preseason game.
Yeah, either. But Daniel Jones doesn't have like a massive injury that he's rehabbing from.
Right.
We haven't seen Daniel Jones in a regular season.
We've already seen the best of Daniel Jones, and we know that's mediocre.
Same thing for Dak Prescott. You haven't seen him in a preseason game. Right. He's coming off major injury.
Rooster, what week did Saquon go down last year?
Oh, I forget. Right? It was like the first two or three.
Yeah. It was early.
Yeah.
So he is close to that 1 year mark, though.
Right. But he was injured the year before, too.
Right. But are you going to risk your entire team on that pick if you have a top six pick? You're going to. Okay. And this is why we know what's going to happen at the end of the year, House. We know where you're going to end up.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the award I get to at it?
Pope's going to make a terrible trade to Rooster, sending Saquon, who's got 1,000 yards already.
If Nick Chubb is available at six, you should take him. That's
no.
What do you do with Mahomes?
So that's a good question.
You let someone like Doug take Mahomes and squander his whole year
this
again.
This is my second biggest pet peeve. Do not take a quarterback in the first round. Never take a quarterback.
Ever.
In fact, quarterback. I'm going to say this right now. This is going to be controversial. Don't take a quarterback in the first three rounds of
what?
Yes.
Now, wait a minute.
Let me explain.
If you're picking sixth or later in the first round, you're not taking a running back or a quarterback. So you're right away. What are we doing? Kickers?
Wide receivers.
I'm taking Tyreek Hill. I'm taking Devontae Adams. I'm taking Kelce or whatever the hell his name is now.
Kelce.
And I'm coming back around. And then I will get him. I will take a Nick Chubb at 10 or 11 or coming back to me when it circles back. But I'm not taking Mahomes.
May I call you Champ? You're taking Miles Gaskin before Patrick Mahomes.
Look, I'm taking as many running backs and wide receivers as possible. Let me explain to you why. Hold on.
When do you pick up running backs again if you can't pick one after the fifth pick?
Who was your quarterback last year? You can say that.
Probably name. Carson Wentz. Probably
no, it was Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Okay. And what round did you pick Brady in?
Probably the same round he got drafted in for the NFL.
Yeah, the sixth round, right? Yeah.
How many touchdowns did he throw last year?
About 5,000.
Yeah. Okay. So the number 12 ranked quarterback right now that I have on my list is Stafford.
Oh, the milk board.
Stafford is going to take you. He's going to take you there. That's fine. Take Stafford. He's on the Rams now. He's going to get 2 to 3 touchdowns a game, probably. Load up on. Don't get caught up in Mahomes, because then you're going to lose the running back and wide receiver when it comes back to you again.
But
I think Bison should take Mahomes. But other than that, I agree with you.
Hold on a second. Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are going to get you 30 points every single week. What's wrong with that?
Because so is Tannehill. So because
you might have a bad
Justin Herbert,
a bad running back that brings your team down.
Absolutely, and you're gonna get 23 out of Stafford, and he's the 12th best quarterback.
All right, I want to ask something controversial. I want to switch topics a little bit on fantasy here.
All right,
and I think I'm gonna get a pretty strong reaction to this.
Oh boy.
What is the thoughts on using a software program that monitors your draft real time and tells you who to pick?
Cheating.
You're a cheater.
You should be kicked out of the league.
There's a difference between, like, on CBS, you can do auto and it tells you the next best player available on your list.
That's different.
Right? That's different.
Who does that? Does someone do that?
I want to know what exactly you're talking about.
Are you talking about auto draft?
No. There are pay for services that you guys don't get emails for these all the time. I figured I got them because of CBS. There's pay for services.
We don't gamble online like you do, evidently.
That will tell you who's the best pick every week. It'll tell you what lineup to set. It'll tell you what trades to make. It evaluates all these things, and it's all computer algorithm.
Fine, do it. Whatever. It's not going to figure out injuries. It's not going
to. Yeah. If CBS Sports has anything to do with it, you're wasting your money.
Yeah.
Their rankings are so
all
off.
You guys getting quiet in the corner and everything. You're all full of shit. You're all using them.
Never.
No, I have a cheat sheet, but it's not going to have some fucking algorithm.
Doesn't even work in our league because it's a live draft league, and it's not like we're using an online thing that's popping up information. So you're kind of on your own, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you have some guy in your ear telling you who to draft.
like somebody did a couple of years ago.
Like someone's son, you mean?
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
Oh, for Zach?
Yeah.
Oh, is he? He'll be on the phone. next week.
Yeah.
Guarantee it.
So maybe we should ban that, huh?
I am still like shocked at this thing, Milk. I'm looking at a magazine right now that has Courtland Sutton in non-PPR leagues. That we
SMU,
are
non-PPR baby.
PPR leagues.
Pony up.
Oh, yes. Yeah, pony up. Courtland Sutton is number 49 and Patrick Mahomes is number 55. Patrick Mikler is taking Courtland Sutton before Patrick Mahomes. True?
I don't think so.
No, I mean,
because I think Courtland Sutton comes way late, comes off the board way late.
Yeah.
So not after the fourth round, which is where Patrick would take Mahomes.
Look, there is a point where if
Patrick Mahomes will be long gone before the
fourth. Yeah, oh, absolutely. He'll be gone in the first round.
I'm just saying, don't in the first 2 to 3 rounds, we do not take a quarterback. If it's the fourth round and Mahomes is there, okay, yeah, be stupid.
Not gonna be there.
Mahomes will not be there in the fourth
round. But somebody will take him in the top.
Mahomes won't be there for the number 2 pick.
Right. Bison is going to take him.
just for our listener, in our league, Bison picks first this year. I pick second. So I'm encouraging Bison to make bad choices.
I think I was in the final four last year, by
where,
the way.
Where do y'all pick, House, Roost, I mean, Milk?
Oh, I'm in Siberia. I'm ninth.
Dude, I'm bad. I'm on the snake. I'm 12. I'm on 12. I like it. 12 and 13.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I do too.
I don't think nine is bad either.
I'm having a hard time because based on Milk, I can't take a running back after the 5th pick, and then I can't take a quarterback. But I should take a wide receiver or tight end over a running back. But when do I get to draft running backs?
What are you?
I'm confused.
So wait a minute. So
asking for a friend.
29 episodes into this podcast. And you're going to take Milk's advice, actually? Like, right. You're actually going to use that? Hey. Have you not fucking paid attention to anything that's happening here?
Look, if he wants to win, he'll listen to
me. He does have a good track record.
Look, here's the thing. I say all this with a caveat. You want that guy. I'm saying don't take anything but a running back in the top 4 picks or whatever. You want that guy in the league to take Mahomes at 3.
Right.
That is what you want, especially if you're 6th. Or something like that.
That's how you get Dalvin Cook at 6, 7,
absolutely,
or 8.
Absolutely, because I guarantee you somebody took Mahomes in the top 5 last year, and Cook fell to you. Or maybe he wasn't.
He was coming off an injury. That was
Yeah, he was coming off an injury.
Pope's going to follow this advice and wind up with a starting backfield of Carlos Hyde and Wayne Gallman.
What number are you picking, Pope?
12.
12. I got the snake.
So, he's going to pass.
I have a little bit of a different take on fantasy that I want to raise. Why do we do this to ourselves? I mean, the stress and anxiety that this brings. This, seriously, there are so many guys across the country right now at this moment who are drafting teams or who are getting ready to draft teams, who are buying magazines for $12.95 because it tells them guaranteed tip to win. Why do we bring this hell on ourselves?
Why are you stressed about this?
Wait a second. Hold on a second. Bison, you have the answer. Rooster has the answer. Pope has the answer. And now, unfortunately, my team has the answer. When your NFL team sucks.
Right.
When your NFL team sucks. That's all we have to live for. That's, you know, that's why you got into fantasy. That's why you all got into fantasy. Tampa Bay sucked. And that's why Milk is going to suck this year because Tampa Bay is now good.
That's right. I started my decline last year.
I love it. I thought I would hate it. When you guys first asked me about this, I was like, oh, it's going to ruin the viewing experience.
Oh, no.
You're not rooting for a team. I love it. I have nothing but fun doing this.
You've taken 15 years off of your life stressing over the draft.
And that's a good point.
I had to save his
first year. I had to save his ass and try to help him with how the draft worked.
Oh God, the Steelers.
I'm doing so many mock drafts that Laura's just infuriated because I
told you you were already ahead.
Mock drafts. God, mock drafts. What?
Who else is doing a mock draft?
Oh my God!
A mock draft.
That's embarrassing. That is embarrassing.
Oh man!
Wow.
He's got He's got simulations. He's created a computer program with simulations.
I find it to be soothing.
By the way,
Bill, what's your pet peeve number three?
Okay, well, this isn't really pet peeve. This is more advice. This is so after last night. Now I have my issues with Jameis Winston. You guys know this, but be careful with the preseason. Keep an eye on it. It's important. You might see some guys come out of that, mainly Marquez Callaway.
Yeah, right? No kidding.
So, but cautiously, don't suddenly put Marquez Callaway as a top 10 pick just because he had two touchdowns by Jameis Winston against backups in the worst team in the league. Is Jameis Winston going to suddenly be this all-star guy? No, he's not. However, to
I'm
my
detecting
point
a little Florida bias.
Jameis Winston is the perfect fantasy football quarterback. He will get you three touchdowns, four touchdowns. He will lose his, he sucks. He'll throw two interceptions, three interceptions that will ultimately lose the game for the team because I live this life, but he will put up a lot of fantasy points.
Yep.
So he's right. Someone to consider.
Milk, let me ask you this about, like, for example, on preseason, how deep do you go with something like watching the 49ers in preseason? Jimmy G looks horrible. Like, he can't hit an open receiver this year. He's thrown over their heads. So now are you going to take a San Francisco wide receiver because he's their starter? Or do you think that's just preseason and he's
how long is he going to be their starter?
I give him three games if he keeps throwing like that.
I mean, his face hasn't looked great though.
I'm not confident in anyone on San Francisco. Are you? I mean, like, yeah, Jimmy. Okay, you got Garoppolo, and then you've got what's his name? Who's their rookie?
Trey Lance.
Who you have no idea how he's going to do.
Yeah, but their wide receivers are pretty high up on the list, like Brandon Ayuk, and Debo. What's his face?
No, I'm not
Samuel.
No, I'm not. I'm avoiding anyone on San Francisco.
We got to think about the offense in general, right? You may have a good player, but if it's a shit offense, then you got to stay away from them.
Mike, I think the only guy you take is Kittle, right? I love him.
Yeah, Kittle's good. If he's healthy.
I heard his name is actually Kit.
Have we been mispronouncing?
It's really Kittle. It's really Kittle.
Yeah.
Milk, I'm going to give you a little psychology test. I'm just going to give you, for our listeners, I'm going to give you the name of a player, and you give me the round they should be selected in, and then we're going to review this later on. We've got a lot of people listening right now, a lot. We have thousands of viewers, listeners, thousands, and so don't let them down.
Yeah.
The running back, David Montgomery on the Chicago Bears.
Oh, God. No earlier than third or fourth round.
Okay. You seem to be lining up with the experts. A running back on the Arizona Cardinals, Chase Edmonds.
He's overrated by all the experts, in my opinion.
Is he splitting time with anybody?
Yeah. They've got James Conner.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, fifth.
Okay, you're doing good so far. Milk, the running back for the Las Vegas Raiders, Josh Jacobs.
Ooh, I like him.
Roll Tide.
I like him in the first two rounds. I like him in the first two rounds.
Okay, now you seem to be over-exaggerating a little bit. Out of sorts.
Round, but you got to get him late second.
He's in the top 10 running backs.
Yeah.
The wide receiver one for the Los Angeles Rams, Robert Woods.
PPR league?
No, we're not in a PPR league.
Standard league.
It's impressive.
I won't look at that guy until six minimum.
Wow.
He's long gone by then. He is long gone by then.
Yeah.
He's like a
third rounder.
He's the number one receiver for the Rams. They like throw all the time.
Yeah.
How about the number one receiver for the Ravens, Milk, Marquise Brown? Hollywood.
I like him. Fourth.
Wow. So you've got Robert Woods and Marquise Brown totally backwards, according to the experts.
Yeah.
The experts love Robert Woods and do not like Marquise Brown. I'm sorry, I think you're no longer an expert, Milk.
Who's the quarterback of the Rams again?
Matthew Stafford.
Stafford.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay.
He'll get the ball to him.
Well, we'll see.
I think Cooper Kupp.
You said Stafford's going to get his 23 points a game.
I think Stafford is a great number 12 quarterback. He's top 15. We'll see. But it is Matthew Stafford, and he's older. He's old, and he sucks. And he went to Georgia.
There we go.
I don't know. I think both Woods and Kupp are better picks than Hollywood Brown.
Just one last question.
How many touchdowns did Woods have last year? Does anyone
how many
know?
Touchdowns? I can figure it out for you. Yeah, I can find it out for you pretty quick.
While you're looking, how many other leagues is everybody else in other than our fantasy league?
I'm in three.
I'm in one other one. Oh, let's hear your name for the – because I think Chris Nace is
in zero others.
I'm in one other.
Yeah,
Chris Nace my law school league from 1990.
Chris Nace is in a lawyer – wonky lawyer league where they have special names. What's your name this year?
I don't know. I haven't picked it yet this year. It depends how the draft goes.
De novo.
Why don't you go with Race Jerry Judicata?
I had the Amari Curie brief last year.
Oh God.
What a dorky league that must be.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's a waiting list for that league too. All right. Anybody else have anything on fantasy that they want to throw out there?
Let me study for a week and I'll get back with you.
Robert Woods had, it looks like he had six touchdowns receiving last year.
Thank you very much. And what was the first question that I asked?
How many touchdowns did Robert Woods have?
No, I said, is this a PPR league? He doesn't get in the end zone.
Okay. Well, he had a quarterback who only threw checkdowns. Now he's got Matthew Stafford.
Okay. Don't touch that guy until the fifth or sixth round.
Okay.
All right.
You heard it here first.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'll be polishing my season review where you come
in last place and have the poop trophy this year and you're eating waffles for 3 days.
Hey. You guys are trying. You're trying your best. You've got me at ninth. I can't think of a worse place to draft. But you know
Bison, I'm so glad you said that because I would love our listeners to give recommendations to us on the loser trophy. I've heard some famous ones of late, but that's a great thing that our listeners could help us with. What's a great, great loser penalty for a fantasy football league?
Should you really be bringing this up?
I thought we were going to do Waffle House.
Two-time winner in our league?
No, I have to go to one-time winner of it.
Well, it's disputed. You were really a two-time loser, but I took it to be a good guy. But anyway, I have to go to Delaware to go to the Waffle House.
Well, that'll suck, but you know, enough waffles, you can.
I'll come up there and watch you eat them. I don't think you should do it in solitude.
enough of this fantasy stuff.
All right.
Enough fantasy stuff. Let's
move it
along. Let's come back to reality for a minute. All right. Now, instead of building a fantasy team, here's the question. You're building your own NFL team from scratch. This is like the Kraken of the NFL. You're starting from scratch. You get an offensive pick and a defensive pick. Pope, you're up. Who you taking on offense and who you taking on defense to start a real-life NFL franchise?
So, you know, this is a classic sports radio question that so many talking heads love to roundtable. And so I did put some thought into it, and I think you have to make a threshold question as a GM, and that is, if you're going to start with an offensive player, are you going to go with who's the best now or who's the best upcoming? Because, you know, you get a guy who's pretty old and try to put a team around him, and by the time the team is any good, he might be too old. But I would have to start off offense with Mahomes. Everything revolves around the quarterback. You know, give me a running back, fine, but the running backs are wearing out too quickly, and we're seeing that across the board. Give me a star quarterback, and I'll build a team around them. So Mahomes is my guy, and if I had to pick for, you know, a team that's going to be up and coming, then I would be between Josh Allen and Justin Hebert. Those two guys really stand out to me. And then, again, same thing for defense. Give me Aaron Donald right now. And that's a kind of a no-brainer. He's the best defensive player in the NFL. But he's also in his eighth year. So, you know, maybe I'm going to start off with a younger guy who is like Chase Young. I hate to say it, Bison, but, you know, kind of hard not to start off with somebody that young and that talented. And so those are my, you know, if I had to pick now, I'd go Mahomes and Donald. But those are other considerations.
Rooster, what do you got?
If you're talking about building a new team, you have to start with the line, because as Trevor Lawrence is about to find out, doesn't matter how good you are as a quarterback if you have a bad offensive line. So I'm going with one of the top offensive linemen who I think are David Bakhtiari for the Packers, maybe Quentin Nelson for the Colts, and maybe even your man, Wirfs, on the Bucks. One of those three guys.
Wow.
One of those three guys is who I'm starting with, because wow. Swiss cheese offensive line and a great quarterback means a lot of sacks for that great quarterback.
I knew you were going to go offensive line.
Interesting.
I think Quentin Nelson's a great call. Great call.
Defense?
Defense, I agree with you, Pope. I'd go either Aaron Donald or one of Chase Young, Miles Garrett, or Nick Bosa.
Milk, you're up.
So I thought about this. I was going to go offensive lineman, but that's just so boring. So I went with quarterback, and I was down to Mahomes and Allen. And I was like, who has more potential to get hurt? So I thought Mahomes does, because he's always running around. So I went with Josh Allen. I like him. I mean, I really like him. I think he's going to be, give him a couple years. That guy's going to win multiple Super Bowls.
By the way, I remember the year he was drafted, and House actually said, this guy's going to be good. Everybody else was talking about Josh Rosen and the others. And he was kind of,
the way he advanced last
unfinished
year,
product at the time.
Yeah. As long as the Bills stay in Buffalo, then they'll be fun.
And they won't win the Super Bowl.
Right.
They won't win it in Austin either.
Is that where they're going to go? Austin?
It's one of the rumored spots.
Oh, God. Interesting. You guys are going to laugh at my defensive pick. I'm going Homer. But I like building a defense around that core linebacker position. They're the leader. They're calling the plays. Young guy. I'm going with Devin White. Really big. I think he's going to be huge. I love this guy. Keep an eye on him this year. He had a breakout season last year. He got us to the Super Bowl, helped us win it. Love him. Going Devin White.
Not a bad pick.
House?
Devin White's not a bad pick. I'm surprised if you're going to go there, you didn't go Darius Leonard, but I don't think you can start around a linebacker. I'm going to start on defense. And I do think Chase Young is phenomenal. If I were going to pick somebody from that defense, I actually like Jonathan Allen more than I like Chase Young. I think Jonathan Allen allows Chase Young to do what he does. He is a menace in the middle, but that's not who I'm starting my defense around. I'm flipping a coin and taking whichever heads or tails lands on the Bosa boys. They're monsters. Both Nick and Joey are monsters, and I would start my defense around either one of them. Honorable mention to TJ Watt, because he's got it in his blood too. But the Bosa boys, I start my defense around. You know, Milk makes a great point on offense. I just think Allen runs too. I need to see more than last year from Allen. I would need to see a second trip around the sun. Mahomes has made two trips around the sun. Both has led him to the very end. He's a very, very special player, very, very unique, and he's 25 years old, and I don't think he has a ceiling. So it's conventional, but I'm going with Mahomes and one of the Bosa boys.
So I'm going to follow up on that, and I'm going with Mahomes too, although if I had to go younger than that, gosh, I like the idea of taking offensive linemen. By the way, I tend to think that if I were actually a GM building a team every year, not just picking one or two guys, I think you draft or you build from the inside out, right? You go offensive line, defensive line, and then build back from there. Because finding a guy like Mahomes or Brady, it's hit or miss, right? It's a total crapshoot. We had all these quarterbacks drafted this year, and you know, 75% of them aren't going to be worth anything. Yeah. So I do appreciate the idea of picking offensive linemen first, but I think for this conversation of having one guy on offense, I'm going with Mahomes. If I had to go younger, I'd be really intrigued by the Jets guy, Zach Wilson, right? I mean, he looked smooth the other night. I mean, sure, we kind of laughed at him on draft night because he looks like such a baby face. But boy, he looked comfortable out there. I'm really interested to watch him play. And then on defense, it's sort of a no-brainer for me. I'm going Chase Young. I just think this guy, he really could have an impact on the game like LT.
Yeah.
And that's about as high a praise as you can say for a guy. Now, you know, does he get there? I mean, we haven't seen another LT since then. So yeah, that's maybe too much pressure. But I think he has that kind of skill set.
He's a disruptor.
Right.
Got a little beat down in the playoffs, though, didn't he, Milk?
Yeah, I believe he did.
Well,
boy.
I mean, of all those
games. He had a quarterback named Heineken. I don't think they were expected to do much.
Actually, that was the closest game we had.
No, but he did
that was the toughest game you had.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Chase didn't do anything in that game.
No, he didn't. He didn't do too much. But he didn't.
Rooster, you're right.
Three guys on him.
Tristan Wirfs, he totally changed our offense. That one pickup.
I'm curious. The Giants passed him over and took the guy from Georgia, Andrew Thomas. Yeah, he hasn't done much.
All right. Well, we're getting closer. Football, it's upon us. I think we'll talk a little college football next week too. So this is exciting stuff. But
before now, before you go there, yeah. I'm going to make a prediction.
Oh,
This alliance, and we'll talk about it in depth next week, is a big fucking nothing burger. Move on.
Wow.
Ooh. I concur.
Teaser. All right. Let's punch someone in the face.
It's this week's punchable face.
Alex, what do you got for us?
It's not very long, but I just want to pick up on what Pope just said. Whether it's a big nothing burger or not, I think the NCAA has just totally screwed everything up. They are taking the joy out of the big college sports. They'll ruin basketball next, but I don't know where college football is going, but it's nowhere good. If you haven't seen the video yet of the walk-on players getting sponsored by an energy bar at BYU, you need to see this.
With it's no a non-caffeinated energy bar.
It's a terrifying video because it shows you where money in college sports is going, because you can sponsor anybody from anything. They're all going to be driving Ferraris and Lamborghinis and energy drinks and all this stuff. And, you know, the allure of college sports was that these were amateurs, non-professionals, non-paid players. Unfortunately, yes, they were being exploited, but there has to be a happy medium between exploited amateurs and overpaid BYU 34 guys all of a sudden get paid to have their college tuition paid so they can sponsor an energy bar. The NCAA has screwed this up, and I hope they find a happy medium. Until then, they're getting punched in the face.
I agree.
Good one.
Boom.
The NCAA is, where do they go? They're kind of dead. where do we go from here with them? Their future's over. I mean, I don't know.
That's what they're doing now. They're fighting for, right? They're grasping and clawing for relevance as an organization.
Yeah. I may not watch a college football game until the playoffs.
Oh, please.
Seriously. Just doesn't interest me.
Well, we'll just drop you off the pod. Milk and I are going
to one in person the first week. So,
yeah.
I'm not saying you won't have fun. I'm just saying I'm not going to spend my Saturday watching.
Yeah. Well, you're just hoping the Yankees will be playing in October.
Let's change the subject.
Yeah, let's change the subject. Okay. Rooster, you have a Ted Lasso for us?
I do, Yankee haters. God. My virtual background right now is Andrew Squid Velasquez, who grew up a few miles from Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. And like all kids his age, he idolized Derek Jeter and wanted to be a shortstop for the Yankees. He actually got drafted by the D-backs in 2012 and bounced around the league. He was traded to the Rays, I believe, the Indians, the Orioles, and never really caught on. And so he signed a minor league free agent contract with the Yankees this year. And they called him up on August 12th because Gleyber Torres was hurt. And since he was called up, they have gone 10-2, including winning 10 straight with him at shortstop. And the guy's been playing great. He really has been amazing. His entire family comes to the games at Yankee Stadium. He made a game-winning defensive play against the Red Sox in the game where we finally went ahead of the Red Sox for second place and first place in the wild card. Just an amazing play. I mean, he threw a bullet from almost left field to first base to get out a fast runner. And then on Saturday, he had his first ever Major League Baseball home run off the Twins, where he jacked one into the bleachers in right center where his family was sitting. And in the stands were his mom, his dad, his grandmother, his aunts, and his brother. And the cameras all panned in on them, and the mom and the grandmother and the aunt were crying, and the men were going nuts. It was just awesome. I mean, it really was childhood dream come true. It's a beautiful story. And, he's 27 years old. He finally made it. And I know you guys can't stand the Yankees, but go F yourselves. And I just hope that Aaron Boone has the balls to do something risky, like continue to start this kid when Gleyber Torres comes back, because Torres didn't do squat this year. And I think Boone is a robot. And of course he won't do that. Anyway, Pope's just mad. He's holding up a who cares sign because we stomped the Braves last night, even though they were on a same 9-0 streak. Two 9-0 teams played, and only one of them looked like a 9-0 team last night. And
those are some big words.
So anyway,
it's really a lasso.
Well, there you have it, listeners.
It's a beautiful story about a kid growing up in the shadow of the great Yankee Stadium and finally making it there.
Anybody got any tissues? Because I'm about to lose
going?
It.
I blacked out.
An underdog story related to the Yankees.
I think they tore down that Yankee Stadium.
Well, yeah, but not this guy's a young guy. The new stadium is not that new.
Rooster, for real, is he a Major League Baseball player? Yeah. Is he here to stay?
I think he's better than Gleyber Torres, in my opinion.
Whoa.
What we like to refer to as a 4A guy.
Because Torres has reverted. Torres used to be better, but he's reverted. He makes a lot of errors at short. And he's not hitting, so this guy's a spark plug.
Oh, Rooster, I'm planning my weekend, and it looks like we've got another 3-game series with the Orioles. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, isn't that nice that you get to play the Orioles for the rest of the year? But guess what? Your last 3 games of the series are against the Yankees, so you better be at least 4 games up.
I'm a little concerned about the Phillies tonight, if I'm being honest.
I'd be concerned about the Phillies, too. Especially if I was a Phillies fan.
Yes. Let me tell you, the Phillies are going to be amazing tonight through seven innings. And then the last two innings are going to reach in with a dull knife. They're going to separate your chest. They're going to reach into your heart. They're going to pull it out, and then they're going to stomp it on the ground.
Oh, wow.
Well, listen, House, that's terrible, but at least you have the Eagles coming up. At least you have the Eagles. So
that's right. You do.
All right, guys. Good show, everyone.
We're all undefeated.
Hey, wait a minute.
Study up for the draft.
Let's give a cheer to Miggy for hitting 500.
Yeah. Let's get Miggy with it.
That's a good one.
That's pulling a big deal.
Cheer.
Let's get Miggy with it. Cheers to Miggy.
And pour one out for Mr. Ranger, Rod Gilbert. Died today or yesterday, I think, at age 80.
Hmm. Charlie Watts and him.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
All right, guys. See y'all.
See ya.